He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to this week's Week in Review show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and there is sure plenty of news to go back and look at this week and the impact that we'll have on the market in coming weeks. But I want to begin by saying Happy Veterans Day to all of our great veterans out there. We don't get the day off. The market is open today. I believe the bond market is closed, however. But happy Veterans Day to all. Man, we had a busy week this week. Wow, we had the CPI report. We had big forecasts coming out from firms like Goldman Sachs and AllianceBernstein for the market going forward. We had an election, a midterm election that was talked about for 2 years. And then it was all over in one night, and it didn't seem to be end up the way most people thought it would be. We have layoffs going on at some of the big FANG stocks, and there is a massive crisis in the cryptocurrency world, which I warned for many years that I never did trust the cryptocurrency world, but that's a big crisis there with the FTX exchange imploding, and more than likely the money is gone. So we'll talk about, we got a lot to talk about on today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, or is it Best Inverse Funds Now? This past week it was definitely the stocks that led the way, but for the year 2022, it's been the inverse funds that have led the way in the market. But we certainly have a lot to talk about here today. It was a week filled with news that will impact the markets going forward, no question about it. We begin today's show with it is a Happy Veterans Day to all of our good veterans out there. My late father was a submarine veteran in World War II. I can't even imagine. I was telling one of my grandkids about it the other day, about being at the bottom of the ocean with depth charges being dropped upon you and whatnot. But our heart goes out, and we're thankful for all of our good veterans out there. Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Barry, welcome to the show.
Yeah,
man, did we have a week?
Right?
Did
yeah.
we have a week or what?
And it was interesting to see how the, you know, certainly how quickly the market priced in some CPI, you know, one CPI report yesterday. And then, of course, you know, kind of the election that's kind of, you know, certainly dragging out in terms of, you know, what the ultimate result will be. But, you know, it certainly seems to be, you know, a bit of gridlock, you know, regardless of, you know, how the Senate ends up sorting itself out. But, yeah, it's a, you know, just some of the, you know, the size of the move, I think, yesterday in the equity markets was, you know, certainly kind of eye-opening in terms of how, you know, one report can kind of changes the mantra, you know, right or wrong. Of course, you can't argue with the tape yesterday.
Yeah, and, you know, how important are 0.2%? Okay, the CPI came in at 7.7 instead of 7.9. And it's obvious as we began the week, here's what the market was expecting. The market was expecting a big red wave on Tuesday. It had been bidding up the oil and gas stocks for the previous couple of weeks. It was counting on the Fed remaining dovish, or hawkish, not dovish, hawkish. And the market, I think, was also expecting, well, I would also say this. The market obviously also has a lot of short interest built up into it, because on Thursday when that CPI report came, you saw a lot of the stocks that are heavily shorted, a lot of short interest, the Carvanas of the world, just absolutely boom. So you have to wonder how much of that Thursday's move was short covering and how much of it was people getting back into the market with conviction, you know, after what has been a very, very rough year in the market. Let me just go over the scorecard here. Oh, by the way, this is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I've been a professional money manager for the last 23 years. I'm here with Barry Kite, who's a chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner. This has been a very unique year. As of right now, as of yesterday, you've got the S&P 500 now down 17%, okay? But much worse over at the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is down 29% since the beginning of the year. And you get out into those outer reaches of the NASDAQ, like ARK funds and other innovation-type funds, they're down 50 to 70% this year. The longer the duration of the stock and the higher the P.E. ratio, the bigger the drop in the stocks this year. We've also had a horrible year for the bond market. You've had this just a 10-year, 7 to 10-year Treasury ETF as of yesterday down 18.6%. Very unusual to see a bad year for both stocks and the bond market in the same year, which doesn't speak well to the asset allocation formula 60-40, 70-30, 50-50, which I have never been a fan of. And this year really points out how, you know, it's not working the way it was supposed to work. And then you get into other areas of the market. Bitcoin is now down 64% year to date. China is down 33% year to date. The emerging markets are down 23% year to date. The only green on my screen this year, you've got the dollar. Okay, who invests in the dollar? I guess if you're a currency trader. The U.S. dollar is up 13% since the beginning of the year. And, of course, crude oil began the year at $75 per barrel. It is now at $89 per barrel. Of course, it's been higher than that. It's up 18.2% for the year. And then, of course, the inverse funds, the inverse S&P 500 is up 14.2% year-to-date. And the inverse NASDAQ ETF, PSQ, is up 29% year-to-date. So, what a year it has been. You know, we warned that this was coming. We're in a paradigm change in the market. We're in a seismic change in the market where you had 40 years of falling interest rates finally come to a bottom late last year and then start to turn up. And then, of course, with the inflation kicking up its ugly head, rearing its ugly head, you had a Fed which was keeping interest rates at zero and juicing the markets all through COVID. Now, you know, those chickens coming home to roost as inflation has reared its ugly head, and we'll get into that a little bit. And now we're in a rising interest rate environment, okay? We haven't seen that for a long, long time. So you obviously have to adjust investments accordingly. We started warning late last year about what was coming this year, and we warned of a rising interest rate environment and what it would do for the markets, especially the high PE stocks and the bond market. Well, let's just go back, do a little review here of what went on this past week. We'll begin with Monday. Goldman Sachs cut its forecast for 2023 S&P 500 earnings growth to zero. Okay, why is that important? Well, okay, let's just do a little bit of history here. Earnings for the S&P 500 bottomed out in 2009 at $60 per share. They've been growing ever since, except for the COVID year. From $60 per share, we're expected to make about $225 per share. You stick a multiple on that of 16 to 18, somewhere in that area, and that explains why the S&P has gone from 660 back in 2009 to well over 4,000 here in 2022. But now it's all about 2023 and 2024. What's ahead? The market is going to trade on earnings estimates. One big firm, Goldman Sachs, says there will be no growth in earnings next year for the S&P 500. That means you're going to have a flat S&P 500 next year if they're right. And, in fact, their target price for the S&P 500 for next year is about 3,800. Well, guess what? We closed yesterday almost at 4,000. So that doesn't leave much room on the upside. What's an investor going to do in 2023, which begins in about, 6-7 weeks from now? This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now Show, Week in Review. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now Week in Review show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We are a nationwide virtual money management firm, fee-based only. I've been a money manager for the last 23 years. I write a newsletter every week. That has my current take on the market. It shows what we currently own in our portfolios, how we're handling this difficult rising interest rate environment and a slowing economy. A lot of talk of stagflation. Did we see the top? Did we see the peak in inflation this past Thursday? We'll talk about that in a little bit also. But it certainly has been a crazy year. Now, if you want to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, you can go to GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. And if you would like a review of your current portfolio, we may not be out of the woods yet, despite the big day on Thursday. This year has been a year where every single rally in the market has been met with selling, okay? So we'll just have to see. We remain in a bear market from a technical point of view. We're in a primary downtrend. I saw Carl Icahn, I think on Friday, saying that we're still in a bear market. We're not out of the woods yet.
And you continue to hear that, a lot of folks, believing that the 2023 earnings estimates are far too high, and we'll need to from an industry standpoint, in terms of an analyst average, we'll need to come down a decent amount in 2023.
Yes. And so, really the key indicator for me, and I'm going to have a really good feel for it here now that earnings season is over, and in this week's newsletter, I'm going to feel pretty confident about the numbers that I use, the multiple that I use, and the target price that I have for the S&P 500. There is no better indicator out there. You can go to technical analysis and moving average crossovers and Bollinger Bands and this and that. But for me, it's all about math. It's all about, hey, how much is the S&P 500 going to earn next year, those 500 companies? How does that compare to this year, which is about to end? We're going to make about $225 this year, which has grown from $60 back in 2009, hence the bull market that we've had. But according to Goldman Sachs, we're now starting to level off in those earnings, which could mean that, we're going to start turning the corner and start heading down with earnings estimates. It's too soon for me to say that right now until I've completed my numbers, but I'll be sending out that newsletter this weekend with my numbers that I feel pretty good about right now because earnings season is now over. It is pretty much behind us.
And we'll have a lot more evidence out there, a lot more facts to weigh, to put into the equation. So, again, GundersonCapital.com. Okay, we've seen some layoffs, but this past week, earlier in the week, Facebook, that stock has just been pummeled. The FANG stocks have been pummeled. They're going to do major layoffs, about 11,000. And we also have Elon Musk at Twitter cutting half of his staff. So, you know, and unfortunately, that's got to kind of have to happen. That's been one of the sticky components of the CPI, the inflation equation, have been rising wages, rising labor costs. And until, you know, we've had some people that are big macro analysts in the market comment to us that until we start seeing a lot of layoffs and, you know, the job market cooling off, it's going to be hard to cool off inflation. So, anyways, we continue to watch that. Now, AllianceBernstein early in the week said history suggests that stock valuations might be near a bottom. We agree with that. The multiple that we multiply earnings by for the S&P 500 has gone from 23. You know, it did close at 17.5 yesterday. It was as low as 15.5 recently. I think it belongs somewhere in the 16 to 16.5 area. With that big rally yesterday, we might have gotten just a little bit too high with the multiple. But the reason you've seen the multiple drop so much in the market, it goes the other way of interest rates. As interest rates go higher, the multiple of the market shrinks. That's the number that you multiply earnings by. And that's why you're seeing Goldman Sachs and others lower their target prices throughout the year as interest rates have continued to go higher and the multiple has gone much lower. Now, Barry, on Thursday, from the high, okay, where did we get? We closed at 3.82 on the 10-year. Aren't we down about 50 basis points from the high now, but from this, like, recent weeks?
Yeah, well, I think we got to, I think it was right around four and a quarter at the, 4.2 range, right, in terms of the, 10-year. And we, you know, stayed above four for, you know, probably the longest duration, right, of time in terms of being above 4%, you know, is roughly around a week and a half or so. And you know, and then of course, you know, bottom fell out, and we're at, you know, bond markets closed today, but they're you know, right around 3.82 at the moment.
And there's still a big spread between the 2-year and the 10-year. We still have an inverted yield curve of about 35 to 40 basis points, which is also an indication that there's a recession coming. Well, and we're hearing more and more recession talk, you know, recently. It seems to be the consensus estimate right now that we're going to be in a recession next year.
Well, and it's how quick rates move as well. I mean, you're looking, you can go, you know, go back 12 months, and the 2-year was at, you know, roughly around 0.6, and, you know, the 2-year now is at 4.3. So that's a 3.7-ish move, you know, since in a 12-month period, right? So that's, I mean, it's a very quick you know, move in interest rates.
And look what it's done to the real estate market. You begin the year with a 30-year mortgage around 3%, and now you're up around 6.5%. It's been as high as 7%. That has brought the housing market to a standstill. And, of course, home prices are not appreciating like they were. In fact, they flattened off and mostly headed downhill right now. That's part of that lodging equation in the CPI. But at the same time, rent prices are remaining pretty sticky, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Well, you know, the thing about, you know, renting is, you know, you're not the duration, right? Isn't it, say, a 30-year mortgage, right? It's a 1 year that gets repriced, right, a year later, and so those prices, you know, tick up with the market, you know, are much faster, and then they're going to, you know, take a while to sift out of the system because it's a 12-month lease.
Okay, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the prospects for the next year. We've got to start looking at that. And I also want to just briefly go over what we think the results of the election on Tuesday mean for the market. Does that change anything? That and more when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now Show, Week in Review. Here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Show, Week in Review, with Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, Barry Kite. I'm the president of Gunderson Capital Management. I manage the portfolios here. Been a professional manager for the last 23 years. We have clients all over the country. My radio show has been heard all over the country for over two decades, so we run a virtual firm. I guess we were ahead of our time. You know, when COVID came along, everybody had to run a virtual firm there for a while, but we're able to handle and deal with clients all over the country, which is nice. It's really kind of fun talking to people around the country. And, of course, leading up to the election, we were hearing from people from Seattle to Minnesota to California, of course, Florida, Sarasota down in that area, San Francisco, I mean, all the markets that were in Dallas, Atlanta, et cetera, Minnesota. And the impact on the market seems to be negligible right now. I think the market was expecting a red wave. I think the press was expecting a red wave. I think the Democrats were expecting a red wave. I think the Republicans were expecting a red wave. That might have had some impact on the market had it materialized. It might have been a little bit bearish for oil prices, maybe. I did see the oil stocks being bid up before the election, but it was mostly the drillers and the frackers and the equipment companies thinking that, you know, they would be kind of unleashed to increase the supply of oil here in America with the energy crisis going on all over the world. But that didn't materialize. And really, I think I don't think it has much impact at all, the election, when it comes to inflation. It does create gridlock. The market generally likes gridlock, okay? It doesn't like big spending packages. It doesn't like changes to taxes, etc. And you're probably going to have 2 years where not a lot is going to get accomplished. The biggest issues that we have that the market has right now continues to be, well, you know, you can add in another one. I think growth is a big problem right now. I think the growth that we've seen in earnings since 2009 from $66 per share in the S&P 500 to the current $225 this year, there's a big question mark over growth going ahead. And the markets follow earnings growth. And if you don't have earnings growth, they start to level off. And if you start seeing downgrades to earnings growth, which we are seeing now, not big, but it's happening. It is being, those estimates are being shaved a little bit here from week to week. That's going to impact the market. Now you say, well, Bill, we're hitting record earnings this year in 2022. Why isn't the market hitting a record high? Well, that's very easy to answer. The market looks ahead. The market's looking ahead to next year and the year after that. The market has already priced in this year. But the biggest reason the market went down this year, it was not an earnings problem. It was a multiple problem. That means P.E. ratio. We've seen the P.E. ratio, the forward P.E. ratio of the S&P go from 23 down to 16 or in that area. And that's why you've seen the NASDAQ go down 30% this year almost. You've seen the ARK fund go down over 60% this year. And then you look at the Dow. Well, the Dow's only down 7% this year. Why has it fared better than the NASDAQ and the S&P 500? Because there's lower P.E. stocks in the Dow. They weren't as vulnerable to rising interest rates. So there's one key that I would give to you about this current market. This is still a market that favors lower PE and even dividend-paying stocks. You know, they were kind of like laughed at in 2020 when you had all of the big run-up in the speculative stocks and in Bitcoin and everything. And now, you know, with this shrinking multiple in the market, they've become more valuable and a little safer place for people. They feel like that's a little safer haven than these growth stocks that don't pay any dividends and are long-term by nature. And I'll just have Barry comment a little bit on why we've seen such a drop in long-term stocks and long-term bonds this year.
Yeah, well, you know, in those interest rate moves, certainly as those longer rates or, you know, as the Treasury, you know, tipped up, you know, towards four and even above four for a period of time, the amount of multiples of, you know, how much you should pay for something, some future, you know, earnings or future, you know, dollars, for example, you're going to discount those at a higher rate coming to today's dollars. And so, that's why a lot of your, you know, big part of the big rally in the NASDAQ, on Thursday was, because interest rates fell and fell quickly and essentially some of those long duration stocks got repriced, in a good direction for them this time because rates were going down. But that's just a good example of how long duration fixed income bonds and, you know, growth stocks, very, you know, especially things on the growthiest end of the spectrum, you know, will actually react very similarly to interest rate movements.
Yeah, interest rates in the stock market and the bond market are intertwined, and that's why I've always believed in being active versus passive. You know, it's what my 2 decades plus in the market, I just never did like this move to passive asset allocations. Why would you want to own bond funds in a rapidly rising interest rate environment? And why would you want to have a heavy exposure to stocks in a rising interest rate environment? But they say, you know, stay the course. It will all work out over time. But the problem is, I mean, a lot of our clients and investors are 65, 70, 75 years old. They don't have a long time for it to all work out. So we've been very active this year in a big kind of more protective mode this year with those with that new interest rate environment. This is not a time to be heavily invested in the emerging markets and high growth stocks. If you're younger, okay, you can wait it out, okay. But not if you're 65, 70. Now, a couple of strategies that we've employed this year. We mentioned Kathy Wood's ARK Fund, which is down 62, 65% so far this year. There's an inverse of Kathy Wood's ARK Fund, which is SARK. It's an ETF that is inverse. There's inverse funds on the S&P 500. There's inverse funds on the NASDAQ. There's inverse funds on sectors like semiconductors, technology. There's inverse funds on Europe. There's inverse funds on the emerging markets. SARK, since its inception, is now up 100% over its first year of trading. I remember when it first came out, and I thought, you know, that's a really interesting ETF. And we have used it off and on because we felt like that was one of the most vulnerable areas of the market, were those high PE long duration stocks. So using some inverse funds has been a strategy this year. We're starting to pick up some individual bonds, okay? I wouldn't touch a bond fund. A bond fund, you don't have the luxury of holding that bond to maturity. You're at the mercy of the interest rate environment, and you've seen those bond funds just get crushed this year. Probably their worst year that I can remember. I mean, you got to go way back to the late 70s to see a spanking like the bond funds have taken this year. Okay, so for instance, I mean, here's kind of the state of the bond market. We picked up a bond, an individual bond this past week, 5.9%, and it was a three-year bond. It's due November 7th, 2025, 5.9%. So if you buy that bond and you hold it to maturity, yes, it's going to fluctuate in value along the way. But at the end of the day, if it's a quality stock and they're still in business and they're still thriving, I mean, that's part of the research we do. You're going to get your principal back, and you're going to earn 5.9% along the way. So
yeah,
we think that there's some pretty good opportunities right now in individual bonds.
And yeah, yield the worst on that, I think, was about 5.7%. So you know per year. So you're essentially from a yield standpoint, it made great sense in doing it. There's a lot of opportunities out there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, by contrast, we couldn't find anything over 3.5. Now we're finding almost 6%. All right, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the meltdown in crypto and our prospects going forward for stocks and bonds in 2023 and 2024. This is the Best Stocks Now show.
You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna go, do with whoever you wanna do. You gotta go where you wanna go, do what you wanna do with.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review, brought to you by Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. You don't have to get in a car, drive downtown, and go up one of those elevators. I used to have an office in the 19th floor, rough to find a parking space, one-way streets downtown. No, you can just give us a call. We're happy to talk to you. Barry is a certified financial planner. We have a great staff that helps it make it easy. If you want to transfer accounts, we clear through Ameritrade, which will soon be Schwab. That's moving very rapidly towards the completion of that merger. So anyways, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST for a review of your portfolio. Are you on the right track as we get ready to begin a new year? 855-611-BEST, or you can sample the newsletter that I put out every single Friday, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, whenever it gets done. I put as much my heart and soul into that thing every week. It's my internal research that I base my decisions on about the market. It's got a macro outlook for next year and the year after that. It's got all of our portfolios and what's currently in them. How's that for transparency? And it's got a review of the big stories from this past week that we talked about on our daily show. And you can listen to the podcast, Best Stocks Now Show, with Bill Gunderson. We upload those every day, about noon, I would say, Eastern Standard Time. Now, this Bitcoin meltdown, it's been something to behold, and Bitcoin is down another 8% today. Apparently what happened is this big FTX exchange run by this 30-year-old whiz kid, he was basically taking clients' money, from what I can tell, and investing it. He had a hedge fund on the side, and it sounds to me like he incurred big losses in the hedge fund. And as people started to, cash out their accounts, he had a run on the bank, and there wasn't the money to pay them. And there's $32 billion here at stake that people had invested with him in his exchange. He had one of the most popular crypto exchanges. Now, the problem is there's more than likely no insurance for those kind of people. They can sue him. But I doubt that there's much left. I mean, apparently his net worth has gone from $30 billion down to $10 billion, down to virtually nothing. I mean, what his company is
worth. Yeah, they filed for bankruptcy.
They filed for bankruptcy,
which was kind of the rumor.
From an equity investor standpoint,
I mean, you're likely looking at total loss, right? And then, of course, from a you know, some bond debt, you know, who knows what, you know, they're going to end up squeezing out of that. But a lot of it could have just gone poof, and it's spread to other, you know, other, you know, there's going to be counterparty risk where, you know, other folks are down the, you know, markets, right, are going to end up, you know, losing as well. So
it seems like it's going to cause a big run.
To see how much.
You know, at other exchanges, there's going to be a lot of panic selling. You know, there's more than just Bitcoin. I mean, there, he had his own coin. That thing has gone kaput.
Well,
so,
yeah, that's the trick, is they're using, essentially making their own coin and then using it as collateral for another company, right? And so
yeah.
you're kind of intertwined. There is really no difference between one company or the other company, and you've created some, you know, made up collateral essentially, and using that to fund debt on another business. So
it's a bad situation. To me,
and they may not be the only ones doing it. So that's the other problem, is, you know, I'm not sure about the legality or not, but the problem is, you know, let's just say even if it is legal, right? I mean, you know, it doesn't sound legal, but, you know, if it is, other exchanges are doing that too, right? And so now they've got to, you know, kind of prove to their, you know, to the confidence of who's got money with them, right? That, you know, they're not, you know, basically in the same boat.
Yeah, I remember when Bitcoin was at 66,000 back in 2020, and of course that was the year that the EV stocks and the lithium stocks and all this and that, the gene altering stocks, and you know, just all that speculative stuff just had a monster year in 2020. And you know, that was part of inflation too. There was a lot of money floating around out there. And then the Fed was juicing the economy with even more money. Interest rates were next to nothing. And now you're left with this giant inflation problem that we hope maybe we've seen the peak. I think that's what the market wants, is peak inflation. Maybe the Fed will slow down. But, you know, I saw one big firm out there saying, well, instead of a 75 and a 50 and a 50, maybe we'll get 350s and a 25. They don't think that it's going to impact where the Fed eventually ends up at all.
The terminal rate.
Exactly.
Right.
And I feel the same way. You know, instead of getting a 75 in December, there's one more Fed meeting between now and the end of the year, we'll just get a 50. But that means we'll go, you know, a little bit longer than expected. So anyways, it's a tricky environment right now. It is a time for active investing, not passive investing. I've been an active investor in the markets every single day of my life. I can't remember the last day I took a day off, but way before the markets open until after the markets close, I look at hundreds and hundreds of charts every day of different asset classes, sectors, individual stocks, ETFs, indexes, etc. And I report back to you every Friday to my client, or every Saturday to my clients and my subscribers. We have a lot of subscribers that do it yourself and follow our information and research. You can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter that only goes out to clients and our subscribers, but you can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. And if you're a little nervous about your portfolio and how it's been handled this year, you can give us a call, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We'll be in Sarasota next week. Visiting folks down there. We have a big audience in Sarasota. Looking forward to that trip. This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Kite. Have a great week, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.